Customer Standing Committee, Sunday, March 11, 2018, 5 p.m. through 6:30 p.m., meeting room 209A.
Welcome, everybody, to the CSC meeting, the Sunday evening CSC meeting. I'm not sure what I did to deserve this time slot, but thank you all for joining me here. We're going to get going. The agenda has been published previously, but you see it here. With your indulgence, I'm going to rejig it a little bit to help out Donna and co. in terms of some of their other scheduling commitments. And I would suggest that we move her and her team's inputs into the number three position after the action items. So if that's okay, or if there are any objections to that, if that's okay, we'll move their report or their update to become agenda item number three. Okay, well, we'll do that, which means we're going to get there quickly, Donna, so hope you're ready. I just wanted to let everybody know that in terms of the members, Cal is online. So we do have the full membership here, and Rhea will be reading out any questions that he has. So Cal, welcome. In terms of agenda item number two, action items, there aren't any open items to discuss. The only one in particular is the chair election, but that's on the agenda a little further down. So we'll move to the actual PTI performance report. It's been circulated already, and as I'm sure you've noted, there were two missed metrics around technical checks and a retest, which was a supplemental check. We've seen this before. This is familiar to us. But Nayela, maybe I'll pass it over to you. Is there anything you wanted to draw our attention to or any comments you wanted to make?
No, nothing to add to what you said, just that we also have no escalations to send. We didn't run into any escalations to communicate for this month.
Any questions for Nayela? Or Kim? Welcome. Any questions for them? No? Okay. The draft CSC report has also been prepared and circulated already. As we just heard, there are no new escalations. Are there any comments on the report itself?
Sorry, Jay? I just wondered if, for the benefit of anyone else here, we should explain why there are no comments on the report, why we have nothing to say.
Given this is an open meeting, yes, thank you for reminding me of that. Would you care to provide some color commentary on that, just so we can make sure we're all on the same level of understanding?
Yeah, sure. So the PTI report notes a couple of minor SLA breaches, but these are ones that we are very well aware of. They have happened multiple times before. It's it's an issue around the design of the system rather than the interpretation of elements of the SLA rather than any underlying problem. And we have provided a recommendation to change the way those tests are measured that will eliminate this and will not cause any errors or issues for any customers. And so as a result, there is nothing there for us to comment on. This is a regular thing we've seen before.
Thank you for that, Jay. Turning back to the CSC report, or draft report that has been published, again, given there's no escalations, are there any comments or questions on the report? Because barring any concerns here, I would like to seek agreement to publish it. Are we okay with publishing it, seeing that we heard no questions or concerns about it? Any objections? Okay, then I would ask Bart to, could you please send that on our behalf? Now here's where we'll switch up the agenda and move the update from the Charter Review Team to agenda item number 3. And with that, I'll pass it over to Donna.
Thanks, Byron. Donna Austin. So thank you for moving me up the schedule. Thanks, Rhea. I have a slide deck, but I don't really see much benefit in going through it because it's discussions that we've had with you previously. We had intended to publish a report prior to this ICAM meeting. We haven't made that deadline. So I just wanted to inform you, it's not because we've encountered any problems, but it's just I took 2 weeks vacation, so it's taken a little bit of time to get back into the swing of things. Our intent is that we will publish it within a week or two after this meeting. As I said, there's nothing in it that we haven't discussed with you before, so there shouldn't be any surprises. But it's just the intent of this update is just to let you know that we didn't publish it, but we will do in a couple of weeks. So that's really all I have to update you on.
Thank you for your vacation transparency and honesty. That said, even though it's not published yet, are there any questions for the Charter Review Team from our committee? Nope. Okay. Hearing none. Thank you for that brief update. We look forward to the published document.
Thanks, Byron.
Okay, then we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is the remedial action procedures. And originally it was titled Approval of the RAPs. But I think right now we're looking at more of an overview and an update on where we're at. And I'll come to the chronology after we go through the substance of this. The RAPs have been circulated to the list, or the current version of the RAPs circulated to the list as recently as last week, March 5th. I'm going to ask Alan to provide an overview of them and do a walk through this deck, because I think we are, from our perspective, in a final iteration of it. It's my understanding, though, that in terms of process, the ICANN board has not yet addressed the issue. There was hope that they would get to it at a meeting prior to Puerto Rico, but looks like they'll be addressing it on the Tuesday meeting. But before we get into the pure chronology, I'd just like to turn it over to Alan to walk the committee through where we are at and what we believe is a final version. Alan.
Okay, thank you, Byron. I think about a week ago, I circulated to the list the latest draft of the RAPs and their text. They're about 7 pages long. So we've been going back and forth for a few months. I think there was quite a bit of good interaction with ICANN and PTI, and actually Martin provided some comments, which were very useful. So I think we're at where we thought as the working group, we have approved this, so we just have to move forward on them. I didn't get any comments from the list. And as Byron indicated, what I propose to do is just kind of walk you through them, structure, framework. Obviously, questions or comments within that are welcome, but also the draft is out on the list as well. So here we go. There we go. So just to remind everybody where we are on this, the requirement for the remedial action procedures, what I'm going to call the RAPs, is in the CSC charter, and as a consequence of that, they're also referred to in the IANA naming function contract and the ICANN bylaws, which, actually came after the CSC charter. They are to be agreed to by both the CSC and PTI, which is why we had not quite a dialogue, but we had a very good exchange with ICANN PTI on the draft, which was good. And the whole premise of the REPs is they can be invoked where a quote-unquote performance issue is found to exist, and a performance issue is defined in the ICANN bylaws. I'll read it because I know no one can read here. Any deficiency, problem, or other issue that has adversely affected PCI's performance under the IANA naming function contract. So that's the premise. So if we kind of look at the kind of overview of the RAPs, as I mentioned, they start with the finding that a performance issue exists. Then there's a requirement for PTI to develop a so-called corrective action plan. And so these first two steps do not actually involve the REPs in and of themselves. This is just how you deal with the so-called performance issues. But it's when PTI fails to implement the corrective action plan, that's when the so-called escalations are invoked. The proposal is that there would be three escalations, firstly to the PTI board, secondly to the ICANN CEO, and thirdly to the ICANN board. And I'll just mention in all of these, there's time limits to make sure there's no kind of stalling as a tactic. And there are generally 10 days to move forward unless everyone says, no, that's not enough time. Let's lengthen it okay. So that's really in a thumbnail what the RAPs are. I'll go into a little bit more as we go on. But as I said before, the first thing is the finding that there is a performance issue. So the CSC makes this determination. It informs the PTI liaison of its intention to undertake a review. So this is just to ensure that there is dialogue in the community. I'm actually very pleased with all the dialogue we have, but I think it's important to codify this nevertheless. And then a PTI has to seek the input from the CSC in the development of this corrective action plan. And so, you know what? I made a mistake on the slide. Just ignore the bottom of the slide, okay? Thank you. I sat in a meeting and overwrote an existing slide to give it the format. I apologize. So as I said before, we have the performance issue, the corrective action plan, and then then PTI sends the corrective action plan to the CSC for approval or rejection, and then it proceeds to implement it. So that's the straightforward dealing with a performance issue. But then where the PTI fails to respect the corrective action plan, this is when the escalation procedures narrowly defined are triggered. So basically, it's when they don't do what they said they were going to do. And what do we mean by don't do? Well, if they don't call the initial meeting that's required, if they don't actually develop the corrective action, if they don't make progress reports that are required under the plan, basically if they miss any milestone in the plan, that creates an opportunity for an escalation. It doesn't mean that there's an automatic escalation, but it means that the CSC can escalate that to one of the three escalations. So the first escalation is to the PTI board itself. There is a failure, for example, you know, they missed a milestone. It's taking longer than expected. You know, the CSC feels that really this is an issue of concern. We have to do something to deal with it. So the CSC sends a notice triggering the escalation to the PTI board and also informs the president of the Global Domains Division of ICANN, and it has to include the reasons for why the escalation is being triggered. Then the PTI board develops a revised corrective action plan and sends it to the CSC for approval or rejection, and then they move to implement that. And then the second escalation is basically a rinse and repeat. Same trigger, same process, but it goes to the ICANN CEO. There's a revised plan that goes for approval, and then the PTI has to implement it. And then we have the third example of rinse and repeat here, which is to the ICANN board itself. And if the issue still remains outstanding after going through all of this process, then it's up to the GNSO and the CCNSO to decide what, if any, action they might want to take, but that can include the use of a special IFR. So really this is pretty straightforward stuff. But I would also note that the REPs make provision for a review of them 12 months, but it's not going to be stacked on all the other reviews we have to deal with, but it's 12 months after they're first used. So if they're never used, there's no program review, but 12 months after the first time they're implemented, then their REPs require a review of their use, and every subsequent time they're used 12 months after that. So that's more or less, this is what it is. So, questions, comments?
Thank you, Alan. This has been a work in progress for a while, so we've seen much of this over time. But are there any comments or questions?
Thanks, Byron. It's Elaine Proust. So one of the questions that came out of the Charter Review Team was, is the RAP intended to be included as a full document within the Charter or just referenced? And it was my understanding it was meant to just be referenced. I just want to make sure that's everybody's understanding.
Well, we have just in time Charter Review Team member here to ask that very question. Martin.
Thanks, Byron. Martin Boyle. Current and I expect final consensus of the group is that the RAP is an operational part of the CSC. In other words, it's one of the things that it has responsibility for and for maintaining, because it is its own tool for correcting serious deficiencies, serious problems that have arisen. So the idea we have is not to include it in the Charter, which then meets the point that Alan made, and once again something that we did recognise as being important, of having a review mechanism for the mechanism, and that, again, if we built into the Charter, that would then start constraining what you could actually do with the review mechanism for the RAP. So that, in our mind, was actually quite an important thing to avoid us freezing something that's becomes something very much more operational, although I think everybody is quite keen to make sure that the RAP never needs to be used. That fundamental thing, the RAP is directly an agreement between the CSC and the PTI or any possible successor to the PTI. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Any other questions? Go ahead.
Lise Voor from the PTI board. I see it 10 days. I guess that's not 10 working days. It's 10 calendar days. And it's at 10 all the time. So you have 10 days, and then if we fail, the revised plan is 10 days, so it's multiple.
Alan?
And actually, in the longer text, it says 10 business days.
Well, over really? Christmas and the new year, that's long.
Elaine?
Thanks. So we did have considerable discussion about 10 days and how fast that is, but the wrap shouldn't ever get kicked off until we've had plenty of discussion beforehand. So it shouldn't be a shock, and everyone should be well prepared to fix whatever's so broken.
Trang?
Thank you, Byron. And this is Trang. And to add, I think there's language in the RAPs as well for contingency language that says basically if the 10 business days is not doable, that it could be extended if both parties agree. So I think we do have that additional language, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, I'll add that one of the things we tried to balance in looking at this is the obvious structure that is in the CC charter of an escalation, like of steps and measures. So the challenge became the more you have, it's more gradual, but the length of the process just gets longer and longer. So three was kind of balances the need for escalation, but without making it too lengthy, because it is a real problem. Then the timing of the escalation steps can be used to prolong issues. So that's it. So it's a compromise, actually.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions on the RIPs? So in terms of chronology, it had been hoped that the ICANN board would have been able to cast their eyes on this at a meeting prior to Puerto Rico. Unfortunately, they were not able to do that, but it's my understanding that they will be doing it on Tuesday of this coming week. Sorry, PTI board, not ICANN board, PTI board, Tuesday of this coming week. And at that point, I think we want, because we all have to be comfortable with this language, it's my take that we should not approve this formally at the CSC at this moment in time, that we would want to see what PTI does with it and says, and assuming that they're comfortable with it, then at a further meeting we can approve it formally. So that's the chronology and the why that we're here. I'm encouraged to see that there are no objections or no real issues, which shouldn't be a surprise given how much time we've spent on it thus far. And it is certainly my hope and expectation that it will be the same at PTI. But from a process and chronology perspective, no pressure. From a process and chronology perspective, that's the way it's going to work. Okay, so we'll move on from that. And the next agenda item is around a procedural item for selecting a chair and a vice chair. And at a previous meeting, we had tasked Bart with putting forward a proposal as to how we actually enshrine this process. And with that, I'm going to ask Bart to walk us through it. But then we also have to have some discussion about, with this process, what are we going to do now? So with that, Bart, could you just walk us through the proposed process?
It's basically based on the discussion you had about a month ago. As a CSC, you wanted to have a very lightweight procedure in place, including the possibility to appoint a vice chair to ensure continuity in case the chair itself is not available during a meeting. So really to, as a kind of fallback position. So there's no, so that's one. The term of the vice chair, again, it's annual. That's based on the, I think the charter and the charter. Based on the discussions as well, is the February-March timeframe, so this meeting. The reason is around October there will be new members and liaisons every time. So the election of members and liaisons ends with new appointments in the October timeframe. To allow the new members, if any, to get familiar with the work of the CSC itself, the discussion reached the point that, say, this is probably the best meeting to select the new chair, vice chair, so the new members could participate with an understanding of what the role of a chair and vice chair is and cast their opinion, maybe even participate or get nominated. So so that's the time frame, chair and vice chair, that's clear as well. Then the election of the chair, it's as lightweight as possible as I could think of. So if you scroll down a little bit, if there is one candidate, it's by show of hands that by the full memberships, excluding the PTI liaison, that should be included, who appoint the nominee. The nominee needs to accept beforehand whether he or she is willing to take up the role as chair. If you have two candidates, then there will be a secret vote. And with the vice chair, you have a similar kind of very lightweight procedure. And that's it.
Lars Lehmann, two questions. No, it actually falls down to one. This means that you can actually happen to accept a chair that doesn't have majority support. If you have three candidates and one receives 40% of the votes and then 30 and 30, the winning will be the 40% one, but he doesn't have majority, he only has 40% support. I don't know if that's important to you, just pointing it out.
Probably there are other scenarios that you could apply, and as soon as you start applying it and you want to address it in a lightweight procedure, it is not a lightweight procedure anymore.
As long as you're aware of the trade-off.
Three applicants for chair of the CSC, that would be those would be exciting times.
It's quite okay as long as you accept the trade-off.
Especially if you're aware that, say, the chair needs to preferably be a member of the CSC.
So it's a very fair point, and I think your point is we just need to be intentional about it and appreciate the math. Bart, could I ask, could we just scroll down a little bit, just in terms of the timing and the language on the timing? Scroll up, rather, a little further up, because term of the chair and vice chair, if we go to that paragraph, they will be elected in the first meeting of the calendar year, which would be now, this meeting, and take their seat up at the first calendar meeting of the next year, which would be this meeting. So I just want to be clear on, would they be elected at that meeting? Okay, and take their seat up and until, so they essentially it's at the election, unlike council elections or other elections where you're elected in one meeting and you take your seat at the end of the next meeting. Question from Cal or comment from Cal? What is it?
Cal said, does full CSE equal liaisons or just the four members?
My suggestion would be, as you did in, I think, the first time, because you got the member or the CSE chair is a member, that the full CSE includes members and liaisons. That's as because they are chaired by that same person. But
so that's an important question for the group, both members and liaisons. The idea had been that the goal that the chair should be, that's an important word, not a must be, should be a member, but that a chair is elected by all members of the CSC, liaisons and members alike. That's the proposal. Elaine, then Jay?
I thought we had a statement somewhere that only the CSC members voted.
I was actually also, Lars Lehmann, liaison, was actually also under that impression, and that this would create a situation where the liaisons would vote in this one specific situation, but not in the other, so it seems somewhat unbalanced. I don't have a strong opinion either way. I just, again, point out the factual situation.
Elise and then Jay.
Thank you. No, I agree. I think it's a bit strange to vote as a liaison at the same time as a very small group, this. So to vote amongst yourself as members is going also to be a bit strange. I don't know. I think the most correct way is that the observer don't vote. But.
And then we probably wouldn't run into the problem of having three people running for it. Yes. Jay?
I also don't mind either way. I just think we need to do what the charter tells us to do in this regard.
It's not specific.
And you're sure you're not being clever in terms of the interpretation of it?
Ria?
Cal said, if I recall, it was only the four members that voted initially.
And I think that's the rub here. That is the way we did it the first time, but the words are not really specific, and that's in part why we had a discussion about it the first time.
Sorry, it's really clear in the charter, and this is just what it says. Liaisons shall not be members of or entitled to vote on the CSC. And it doesn't say vote what about, so I think it must mean vote everything.
So from what I hear, I think it's safe to say that even all the liaisons that have spoken and the members here are comfortable with it being a member-only vote. Is that fair? No objection to that? Okay. So we can reflect that accordingly in the proposal.
Yeah,
sorry, Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's also clear, it goes on, ideally the chair will be a direct customer of the IANA naming function as well. Ideally, that's a stronger, yeah. I think that means unless, you know.
Yeah, it's not a must, but it's a one degree off of strongly, highly, highly encouraged. Okay, so Bart, you'll reflect that the voting will be done by members and should be a member. Any other comments on this? Sorry, and I got greater clarity on the language, and this is my own fault, probably just because I was thinking of the general election cycles of being voted in at one and taking your seat in the next face-to-face meeting. But it's actually a vote and become chair literally at that time and have the seat until the next February-March meeting. Elaine?
So just to clarify, the chairmanship is only for a one-year term?
Yes.
Yeah.
So with the change discussed, is everybody okay with this, or are there any comments or suggested edits? Okay, seeing none, then we will proceed accordingly, which then brings us to the point where we are to have an election. We have all the members here, virtually or in person, and one of the requirements is that the chair hand this over to to somebody else to run the chair election. So I know we haven't discussed this yet, Elaine.
Can I nominate that the vice chair run the election for the chair? Or I can do it if you...
I don't mind. Am I definitely the vice chair?
Yes. Jay, would you like to take this role upon yourself?
Okay, sure. We haven't talked about time periods, though, have we, properly?
Well, that's what I was trying to make the clarification. And like I said, it was my mistake because I had the sort of traditional ICANN election cycles in mind. But I think the wording is clear here that the election is at the first face-to-face meeting of the calendar year, and the chair takes its seat at that point until the next face-to-face, first of the year face-to-face meeting.
Okay. So assuming then that this is going to be a full year,
yes,
and continual full year.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I nominate Byron to be the chair. Do I have a seconder?
I second that.
Great. And can we ask Cal whether he intends to stand as the chair?
Cal supports Byron.
Great. So quick show of hands. Thank you. Cal's put his hand up. That's done with. Thank you.
Thank you. I accept. Anyway, thank you very much, and obviously thanks to the members and the liaisons for all the support in the past year and a half, roughly. We've certainly made very good progress. Now, on to the vice chair election. So you're going to hand the meeting back,
yes,
to me. Okay. I'll take it as received then. So given we know there is going to be some flux in the membership over the coming year, I would like to nominate Cal if he would be willing.
Cal accepts.
Excellent, thank you. Could I ask for a vote on Cal being vice chair? Members? Unanimous decision. Thank you, Cal. Okay.
He said thank you.
So with that, we will move on to the next agenda item, which is around changes to the SLE. And before we get an update from Jay and Cal, I wanted to just, since we have Martin right here with us, I just wanted to ask Martin where things stand specifically as it relates to the discussion we've been having about changes to the SLE and in particular minor changes and what we might expect in the final version of your report.
Thanks, Byron. Martin Boyle here. Yes, we haven't got final wording on this because we had been sitting waiting for proposals, the final proposal from you. However, the agreement is that we should mandate CSC to discuss and agree minor changes of the SLE according to agreed and published change procedures. So, in other words, it would be supporting the line that you're seeking for addressing minor changes. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. Any questions for Martin or comments? Because if not, maybe I'm going to ask Jay. Having heard that, how are we going to proceed from here?
I don't think there's anything else for us to do there then. The charter has that. It's simply a question of us then agreeing the procedures then afterwards internally to respond that. Is that correct?
Martin Boyle here. I think we are expecting to see a proposal from you that is the final version, and that essentially is why we have delayed, because until we see the final version, we won't have very much idea as to exactly how much detail we should be putting into the Charter Review Team report. Thanks.
So I'm just going back. Cal drafted something. It's never been sent. Right, okay. That's the problem, right. Okay, but it did get our agreement to be sent, did it or not, or was there an awkward...
My understanding was, say, you and Cal were on the brink of sending it, and then Alan had a small comment, and then it got in limbo because you were on holidays, and it was in the January time frame.
Okay, apologies. So we just need to tidy up Alan's point, which is probably irrelevant, and then send it. Yep. Okay, good.
Okay, so once those edits are done, we will have to circulate it to the list to make sure we're comfortable with it, and then we'll forward it on to the Charter Review Team. So everybody here, members and liaisons, can expect to see the fine-tuned version of it coming back around on the list. And we'll make sure everybody sees that before we take the next step. Okay. Any comments, concerns, questions on that? Nope. Okay. Then we'll move on to upcoming work items. And I know that Chang and Bart have started preparation on some of the things that we should be thinking about. And we also, as a group, or certainly as the members, have to bring them back, any potential issues back to the CCNSO and the GNSO Council in terms of membership. I don't know, maybe I could ask Bart, do you have any comments on this?
Yes, let me say that the upcoming selection, maybe Trang, you want to speak to it, because this is ICANN-driven, and so we've been discussing it because the next selection process will start sometimes around the Panama meeting, before or after, and that's one of the questions, but you better speak.
Thanks, Barton. Yes, Byron, we've been doing some thinking about this. I know there are a couple members whose terms are going to come up this October, and I believe a few liaisons as well. Our preliminary thinking and what we'd like to propose is that we would follow the same process that was followed when we seated the CSC initially. And that process essentially was for ICANN to initiate the process contacting the SOs and ACs that would be making the appointments and asking them to initiate their own internal processes to appoint members and liaisons, and then communicate that information back to ICANN-org, and then ICANN-org would then ask the CCNSO and GNSO Council to bless the final slate, which is basically the same process that we used last time. So that's our preliminary thinking, and that's what we'd like to propose. We're trying to nail down the timelines of this. The last time we initiated the process, I believe, in June for an October 1st sort of seating of the CSC. And unless we have any objections, from any of the SOCCs, I think that's probably is the right timing for us to initiate this next election cycle.
Elise?
Just a question, so I don't remember, but you sent this to the chair of the SOs, right? Because we need that to be done, not to the whole list, to the chair, right?
Thank you. Any other feedback on that? Elaine?
Thanks. I have a question, and maybe somebody can remind me. So the members who are appointed, myself and Cal and Byron and Jay, we set that up as a 3-year or 2-year terms. So I think Cal's was 2-year, which means in October that would be up, or are we only at the 1-year mark in October?
No, it's been so much fun. It's actually going to be 2 years.
So
it went
fast.
So fast.
So what does that mean for his vice chairmanship? Yeah.
Of course, he could be reappointed. Yeah, but it's we need to check. We need to check. You decided at one point who is on the 2-year slate and who is on the 3-year slate. The same is true for the liaisons. And so the people who are on a 3-year slate, they will stay on. You can still swap if you want, of course.
And it's a good point. And given the timing of those two things are on opposite sides of the calendar, that is something that can and will happen based on timing. And I think the bottom line is we'll just, at that point, we would have to address it. But given those two things, yeah, are spring and fall, or fall and spring, depending where you live, that's going to be an ongoing issue, or potentially an ongoing issue.
So there aren't term limits for members, so Cal could be re-elected and then carry from there? Yeah?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So moving on to item number 2, just preparing for the effectiveness review. Going back to number.
Yes, that's right. Sorry, we need to clarify for everybody else that we established that I was definitely the 2-year term, you were the 3-year term, because I'm stepping down because of me having left .nz. Okay, because we hadn't really clarified that properly beforehand.
Yeah. In this group, formally and publicly, no. So, yes, right. 2 and 3 years.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm the 2 years, right, and you're the 3.
No.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so just to make sure it's completely out there in the public domain. Jay was a 2-year term and I'm a 3-year term. Now we'll move on to number 2, which is around the effectiveness survey. And I guess my question, and maybe others have questions here, in terms of any formal role for the CSC, do we need to be appointing a liaison?
I think one of the... what should be included in this list as well is the IANA functions review. There you definitely, on basis of the bylaw, need to appoint a liaison. So that's the IFR. One of the issues right now is the overlap in timing and potential of scope of the effectiveness review and the IFR. The CSC charter review team will... notice this, and there is a discussion ongoing within ICANN.org as well with respect to how to manage this. So that's upcoming. The effectiveness review itself is not defined, not in the bylaws nor in the charter. It's mentioned. My assumption would be, and especially for the CSC, that it will be structured in a similar fashion as the charter review, if it takes off and when. So there might be a role for a liaison, because I think Elaine's role with respect to the CSC charter review team was very helpful and effective. So
and I guess that's my point. I mean, the IFR review is clear, we must, but the CSC effectiveness review is unclear. We have some precedent, and I guess we'll wait till we have greater clarity on how that's going to come to be. So it's just a...
it's a matter of the terms of reference.
Wait and observe, okay?
Yeah. Terms of reference of the effectiveness review.
Okay, thank you for that clarity. Certainly for me, at least. Moving on to number 3, I mean, we know that we will have to appoint a liaison. I'm just wondering where ICANN.org is at with the planning for this. Maybe Trang, can you give us any insight? Or again, are we in just a holding pattern right now, for at least from the CSC's perspective.
Thanks, Byron. We anticipate that the board will take action to initiate the IANA naming function review October 1st. And once the board does that, we'll go through a process to contact the SOs and ACs that are supposed to be appointing members and liaisons to the review team to ask them to, again, initiate their own internal processes to appoint review team members. So I think at that point, the CSC will be contacted, to appoint a liaison to this review. But as of right now, there's no action required on the CSC part.
Okay, thank you. So that'll be we should expect something in Q4 of this year, though. Calendar Q4, at least. Okay, thank you. Any other comments or observations on agenda item number 8? Then we'll move to any other business. Number 9, does anybody have any other business? Elise.
Thank you, Byron. I just want to introduce our new board member on the PTI, Wei Wang, and I would like, if you want to give a short presentation of yourself for CSC, Wei.
Thanks. I'm new to PTI board. I'm also new to everyone, most of you. I was just nominated last year and appointed by the ICANN board the end of December. I'm new to the community because I'm a kind of engineer focused on the IDN area, and I work with the Korean and Japanese expert focusing on the DNS. IDN application and repertoire, something like that. So, it is really my honor to join the PTI board. I'm serving in the new DTLD registry. And before that, I was serving for, I used to serve for CNIC, the CC TLD. So, I helped import it. Some root server mirrors into China mainland, cooperate with the I. And we also have, personally, I have pretty good relationship with some CCTOD like the .de and .kr, something like that. As a member of PDI, I will cooperate with the LS to try our best to reach the goal of the PTI. And we know that the community will review the PTI to see if PTI meet the goal of the INA transition. And our work, keep working with all of you to meet that goal. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Welcome. And thank you for willing to serve here. And Lise, okay.
Sorry again, I just forgot. I don't know if you've seen that the PTI board has constituted itself. I'm the new chair of PTI. Sam Eisner is the secretary and Becky Nass is our treasurer. So we're all a new board.
Congratulations, I think. No, and much deserved. Obviously, you, of all people, have been involved in this since the very, very beginning. So it's actually great to have somebody who's got that consistent thread right through the very earliest days of the transition and through the forming of the PTI board, all the work around that, obviously participating here, and now into what I hope is sort of the more normalized functioning of PTI. So thank you for your contribution and your willingness to see it through literally from start to completion. Okay. Still on any other business? And Jay?
I had a question for Martin. You were at some point concerned about the review after review after review. I was wondering if you'd had any further progress or anything to report on whether we're still going to get those or if there'll be any consolidation.
I don't think, sorry, Martin Boyle here. I don't think it's within our gift to do anything apart from making it clear in our report that this is a potential problem. And I forget exactly the wording, but essentially what we're saying is that there ought to be some thought given to making sure that you're not reviewing the same thing over and over again, but that there is some thought to how to structure the reviews and which review will deal with which bits to feed into this overall matrix, so that you wouldn't end up with the CSC being interviewed several times and with reports coming out that had slightly different interpretations of what was said because there is no exchange within them and being a burden on the time of the volunteers on the CSC. So we're sympathetic to it. We recognise that we cannot say this must be done because it's not actually a part of the charter. It just recognises that we shouldn't just be doing the same thing over and over and over again, but actually somebody needs to step back and think about what it is that you're trying to achieve from these various various reviews. Does that fully answer your question?
Thank you, Martin. Any other business? Okay, well, I know we had 2 hours allocated for this meeting, and I'm sure that you'll be sorry to be missing the final 55 minutes of it. But given it is Sunday evening and there's no further business, I'd like to bring the meeting to a close. Thank you very much, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your ICANN meeting. Thanks, everybody.